1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Donald Trump back in criminal court today as his hush money trial resumes in New York City. This morning, he went to a construction site in Midtown Manhattan and shook hands with the construction workers there. At the U.S. Supreme Court, Trump's lawyers will argue that he should have absolute immunity over anything he did while in office. While in Arizona,
Donald Trump is unindicted co-conspirator one in a case out of Arizona that said he and others schemed to prevent the lawful transfer of the presidency to keep Trump in office after the 2020 election against the will of Arizona's voters. The indictment names 11 Republican electors and references when they met at party headquarters to certify the election for Trump, even though Joe Biden won the state. The Arizona indictment also charges seven others, including Rudy Giuliani, former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and Trump's senior advisor Boris Epstein.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. More protests on college campuses this week. This is ABC News. A heartbreaking message from one of the American hostages being held by Hamas. Here's ABC's Rhiannon Halley.
The world is now seeing Hirsch Goldberg Pollan alive, more than 200 days after the American-Israeli citizen was taken hostage during the October 7th attack. The 24-year-old says, "Mom, Dad, Libby, Orly, I love you very much. I miss you very much. I think of you every day that I'm here. I need you to stay strong for me and not stop fighting."
It's unclear when that message was actually recorded. Birth rates once more on the decline. The latest CDC data released this morning reports nearly 3.6 million babies were born in the U.S. last year. That is down 2% from the year before, and it continues a decline in births across the country over the past decade. The city of Venice will begin a new pilot program today, charging day trippers a 5 euro entrance fee. Officials are hoping this will deter tourists from overwhelming the city's residents during peak hours. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin's flagship campus in Madison is slipping in the global and national rankings. The Wall Street Journal ranks it 79th. Internationally, UW-Madison has fallen to as low as 102nd in one ranking. Authors of the UW's internal studies say the UW-Madison gets fewer federal research grants. People who need a few hundred bucks in a hurry can take out loans on smartphone apps, but consumer advocates warn of steep hidden costs. Lucia Constantine is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
They are trapping consumers in a cycle of borrowing that is similar to that of a payday loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers with a win in Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers held on to a 3-2 win over the Pirates. Pittsburgh walked in a couple of Brewer batters in the third. Milwaukee very shorthanded for pitchers. Bryce Wilson got his second chance at starting a game. Manager Pat Murphy.
I'm finding that out right now. I'm finding out I like him as a starter. I think he can do it. And I think he's getting started at it, you know, and I think he's very, very capable.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Pacers tomorrow afternoon in Game 3 of their best-of-seven series. Chris Middleton says he's all right after missing part of the first half of the last game, getting a sore ankle retaped. College hoops, more players entering the transfer portal for more NIL cash. Greg Gard last night in Madison asked about A.J. Storr and Chucky Hepburn leaving the program.
I'm not mad at anybody because, or specifically Chucky and AJ, if anybody in their right mind told any of you guys or gals that you could go triple your income, you'd do it in a heartbeat.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 56 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 36. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and windy with scattered showers by afternoon. Our high 59 with more rain and thunderstorms likely Friday night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
On my next show, the celebration of Earth Week continues. I'm going to be joined by Harry Schumann, Executive Director of Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Don't miss it.
Weekdays 2 till 4 p.m. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a good-looking Thursday morning. Segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Turn your ordinary space into something extraordinary with brand-new Pella Windows. Luxurious look, sleek design, and custom colors. They're all available and guaranteed to give your home the extra pop to entertain and keep you comfortable. It's the best of both worlds. Right. And let me tell you something. Right now, get 0% interest for up to 36 months or no down payment, no interest, no payments for 18 months if you book before April 30th. Get a hold of them. Pella, rated number one by Northeast Wisconsin homeowners as the window brand that stands behind their products.
As they should be.
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Okay, Todd, let's get it rocking here. Do you have my music?
Oh, we got an intro music?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hang on.
Must be very special.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a young man who grew up on the mean streets of Chicago. A man child who had a full beard at the age of 9. A man who roamed the streets, taking out his hostility and angst on poor little Italian guys. The very name, McCarran. Which, in Gaelic terms, back in the old country of Ireland, means McCarran. A young man who was a high school phenom. Highly recruited by universities throughout the Midwest. He was offered cars. He was offered women. He was offered a lot of stuff.
What?
But no, he didn't jump. He wanted to stay home and play for the Fighting Illini of Illinois, where he led them to gridiron glory. They defeated the likes of Northwestern, Western Illinois, Northern Illinois, and Monmouth College. And then, on this day, draft day of 1973, a phone call was placed from 1265 Lombardi Avenue. And the voice on the airline said, Larry McCarran, we want you to be a member of the Green Bay Packers. Yes, you'll be a luminary like Hall of Famer Jim Ringo. Of the steady Kenny Bowman. Yes, you will be the center of the Green Bay Packers. Some of those prominent quarterbacks in NFL history will have their hands between your legs. At the Pro Bowl, Joe Montana, Steve Barkowski, Joe Theismann, who he always said had the softest hands of all. And now, a legend in his new field, a man who I personally gave advice to when he asked about his first TV contract. And I said, go big, ask for $25,000 a year. And now, ladies and gentlemen, NFL, Green Bay Packer, and broadcasting legend, Larry "The Rock" McCarron.
Oh, man. Okay, well, we've got to go to
Rocco.
I'll tell you what, John Boy, there's no way what follows equals what
right.
we just heard.
And no notes. He's like, let me take this. And he goes on for what? It seemed like a really long time, but it was like six minutes.
Mino has never had a note in his life. he doesn't believe in preparation. No, that was all off the cuff.
Yes.
And,
oh, man.
Even though so much BS, I can't stand it. But, John, there's no way what follows is going to equal what just happened.
Right.
We got The Rock. We got The Rock. It is NFL Draft Day. Larry "The Rock" McCarron joining us. Rock, one of the things that when I texted you or left your message, is this a true story that the Packers gave you a signing bonus and then asked for half of it back, that they gave you too much?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was just the signing bonus, but Red Cochran, they used to send out the assistant coaches to sign the lesser luminaries, and as a 12th-round draft choice, I certainly qualified. And Red Cochran came down, and he signed me to a deal where for 1 year I got $3,000 to sign, and 16 if I made the team.
$16,000 a year to play in the NFL.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, this is 1973.
Yeah. Yep.
But okay. I mean, I could have made that probably substitute teaching,
yeah, right,
which I was qualified to do in case football didn't work out.
Yeah.
Or teaching, period. So anyway, that was fine. And, like, I thought I was rich. I never, so you get a check for $3,000. I mean, as a college kid living in a basement apartment for $95 a month furnished, I thought I was wealthy. And but a couple of days later, Red called up, and Red was salt of the earth, to the core.
Yep.
And Larry, I screwed up, but he didn't say screwed.
Yeah,
Larry, I screwed up, and I said, well, what's the deal, Red? And he goes, well, that's the thing. It is with the deal. He goes, when I got back in Green Bay, I found out I gave you too much.
Wow.
And so that was that, and I think I had no business having any courage at all. I hadn't earned the right for courage. And I think I ended up saying a deal's a deal. But part of the contract was if you made the team, you got a bonus. Well, I didn't actually make the team. I made what is now called the practice squad. I made the taxi squad.
Sure, yep.
And so I missed out on the bonus. So they got some money back regardless.
Oh, but, my God.
Yeah, that was it.
But didn't you tell me that your lovely wife was a terrible negotiator? Like, the first thing that Red offers, she goes, oh, that's great.
Yeah, he came to our $95 a month furnished apartment. And Red, said, well, we'll give you $3,000 to sign. And then if you make the team, or if you make the 47-man or, whatever roster cuts there were, you get an extra $500. And Becky goes, oh, nice bonuses. And I said, hey, I'm supposed to be a hard negotiator here. And so just kind of sit there, okay?
Oh, that's isn't it amazing how things have changed, Rock? I mean, we're not talking the 1930s here. We're talking, in our lifetimes type of thing. Isn't it amazing how things have changed?
That's crazy.
For guys coming out of college?
It's crazy. I mean, with NIL money, they were just, having Greg with NIL money.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids today would laugh. I mean, just absolutely roar.
Yeah.
They say, I won't go across the street for that kind of money.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But, hey, like it was a living and it was a way to get in the NFL.
Absolutely. And you made the most of it. No question about that. We're Rock heading into the draft, of course, you know, and I hate those mock draft things and whatever. But
oh, it's a whole culture in and of itself.
It's crazy. But let me just ask you this, as such a, you know, and you work for the Packers, basically, or you do work for the Packers, but I mean, you're at every single practice, you're at every game, and you've always done that. You know the heartbeat of the Packers as well as anyone. Where do you think they need to try to improve through this draft? And again, you know, Jim always says, I mean, I give Jim, we were like a play away from going to the Super Bowl, you know, the last couple of years. He's surprised he made as many changes. But you who analyzes this for a living, where do you see that they need to get better to take that next step?
Actually, and this is the truth, John, I think they're in a very sweet spot right now because they don't absolutely positively have this glaring need. They got a good young team. They found their quarterback. Excellent leadership is in place. They are coming off a season where they got a taste. People are hungry. I think they're in a real sweet spot. Mm-hmm. So they have the luxury of kind of letting the draft come to them a little bit.
Gotcha.
But it clearly, when you talk in terms of, okay, there's a help wanted sign, clearly there's one at one of the safety positions.
Yeah.
Like they're still in the market there. But if they don't get one at the right time, at the right spot in the draft that they like, they don't have to. They've shown the ability to mix and match. And last year we had a number of guys go back there and play winning football. And again, I just think they're in a very sweet spot that way. But safety kind of jumps to mind. I like the other thing that gets bandied about a lot in the mock draft is offensive line. In particular, they talk about left tackle. And that could very well be the case if the right one's there. It's a very strong year for tackles in particular. Offensive line as a whole, but tackles in particular, there's a lot of good tackles. They may go towards the strength of the draft that way. But I like Rasheed Walker. You know, when he stepped in last year, sure, he had some inconsistencies. He made some mistakes. But that kid's got it in his body to be a good player. And if they had to go with him, I'm fine. You know, they lined up and beat the snot out of the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs with him at left tackle. So, they could go that route. And there's always the positions you could never have enough of. Cover guys, since day one, one of the real favorites of the mock drafters has been Cooper DeJean out of Iowa.
Right.
A guy that could really play any spot in the secondary. Now, he's a good pick, no matter if you need secondary help or not, because he's a football player.
Yeah, I saw some video of him, Rock, when he was at, I saw some video of him when he was a high school basketball player. He was unbelievable. At 6'1", he can slam dunk like you can't believe. He's an athlete.
No, you know, there's a reason everybody likes him. And he's coming off an injury, but there's a reason everybody likes him. And, you know, and you can never have enough guys in today's game, enough guys who can cover.
Rock,
you will always find anybody who can cover, you'll find a spot for them. And the other thing in today's game, pass rush. If somebody's got some pass rush, he's always a good choice.
Even though
you have somebody to line up and start for you, I mean, you need to keep those guys fresh.
We got to send a quick break, Rock.
You need to send waves at them.
Stay with us, please. We got to send a really quick break, okay? Larry the Rock McCarron joining us. Back right after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pumping your tires, checking your brakes. Part of the list to get your bicycle rider ready. But don't forget to ride safe, too. Here's Green Bay biking expert Peter Flukey.
But what we forget about is that there are people out there walking, there are people out there biking. But because we didn't say to ourselves, where are those folks? You need to be looking and searching for those because it's a shared responsibility.
Flukey says responsibility includes obeying the rules of the road. But did you know bikes are equal to anything else on the road? It's true. By the way, the Green Bay area earned a bronze level, which is basically third place for being a bike-friendly community. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Charging from the gate.
Hey, welcome back. Right. Mind of the Mayor, Larry the Rock McCarron joining us on draft day 2024.
You know, Larry, you talked about the Packers. They're in such a sweet spot that they're going to wait. Like, the draft can come to them, and they can be quite selective. Let's go on the other side of the coin. The Bears, they have to have a really good draft, and they have the numbers to get a good draft. And I really find it interesting what they're doing in that community. They have the number one draft, and at, what, 10 or something, they may trade up for that. But they also announced their new stadium yesterday.
Which I can't believe, Rock. How long have they had this one?
But that makes sense, though. They're going to get so much energy. They're going to have great draft. People are going to say, you know what? Raise our taxes. Because there's a lot of people saying, we're not getting any public money into this thing. And they're going to need a lot of public money to make this thing work the way. You see the design on that?
Yeah.
So anyway, I think they're really hoping that this is their time. It's been, what, 25 years? So what do you think of the Bears? I should word that differently. What do you think the Bears have to do tonight?
Mayor, to be perfectly honest, I don't spend a hell of a lot of time thinking about the Chicago Bears. They've managed to screw it up for a couple decades
right.
at the most important position, and you know, maybe they'll get their guy, maybe not. There's no guarantees. I mean, it's amazing how many of those guys don't pan out, even though they're selected in positions that should be almost a guarantee they do pan out.
Yeah.
And until it happens, I'm not terribly, I think they are improving overall, and the next person who takes the reins, it's Caleb Williams, what have you, the next person that takes the reins as their quarterback probably has a little better situation as far as the talent around him. But again, the Bears have been the Bears. And they're a serious business group. They'll get after you and so forth, but they haven't put it together.
Right.
And consequently, until they do, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. As a native Chicago area person, I kind of follow their stadium thing, and they thought they had it all set up in Arlington Park. That kind of fell through, and now they're back on the lake shore, which I think for Chicago is a good thing. But Chicago, I mean, you know, vote early, vote often.
Right.
The politics involved in getting the stadium built, it'll be interesting to watch it unfold. But outside of that, I think when I look at the division and as far as competition, I think first and foremost of the Lions, they've got that thing turned around, played in the NFC Championship game last year. And I think they look at I look at them as the Packers' chief rival as we head into this year.
Hey, Rock, and you're talking about being from Chicago. There's a really heartwarming story of your career. The first time you're playing in the NFL – and you played back in your hometown as a member of the Green Bay Packers. You're a National Football League player, a little kid that followed the Bears, and you had a really great reception, didn't you, when you got hurt in Chicago your first year when you were walking off the field? Can you share that heartwarming story?
Actually, it was pretty well on in my career.
Oh, okay.
I did something with my foot, and they had terrible turf. They had artificial turf in Soldier Field for a while, and it was terrible.
Terrible,
was
I remember that.
The cheapest stuff they could buy. And terrible turf. Anyway, I really screwed up my foot, and they were taken me in, like the defense was on the field at the end of the first half, and they were taking me in to work some medical magic on it a little early. So it was just me and the doctor and the trainers walking over to the tunnel at Soldier Field. And, and you know, yeah, I am a Chicago area product. And so we're walking down the tunnel, and I'm limping big time. And some guy leans over, you know, like they do. Some guy leans over, "Hey, McCarron, I hope it's broken." Wow. I thought, welcome home.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Rock, you know one thing, though? It's so funny that you get all these scouts, and they analyze these guys like you can't believe. I mean, it's beyond belief how much they analyze them. But you know what? The acid test, as soon as that guy comes to camp, other players, veteran players, can tell you within about the first 3 days if the guy's a player or not. Isn't that the truth?
No, very much so. I think in many cases, not all, but in many cases, the guys know before the bosses know,
yeah.
The coaches know.
Yeah.
The guys know. They see a guy in a different light. And many times, like when I'm looking at and trying to get a handle on a young player, I'll ask a veteran guy who knows he can trust me and say, you know, yeah. And speak frankly. I'll ask him, "Hey, is this kid got the mystical it?" And it's amazing how your veteran player will be right on the money.
Yeah.
Or in either case, whether the guy's got it or he doesn't have it.
Two cases.
And, yeah, absolutely. I mean, guys, there's a must that goes with guys, and they can see whether he's got it, whether he reacts the right way in difficult times, what he's like away from the field, in the locker room, if he's going to be a good fit for the team, a good fit for his position group. I mean, the guys know.
You know, I remember Lynn Dickey telling me the first time he played catch with Rich Campbell, he thought to himself, "Oh, my goodness, this guy can't throw a football to be in the NFL." You remember that?
Well, a lot of people would agree with Lynn.
So, Larry.
How that happened, we'll never know.
Yeah. Larry, these scouts, like Johnny said, I mean, they analyze, they go all this film, all these tests. How much do they weigh on just the personality? Does he fit? Is he a community-minded guy? Because, you know, as a former mayor, we like that when you guys are involved in the community like you and a whole bunch of other people. But there's some that – I'm just wondering how much they weigh that. Does that come into the decision?
Huge.
Oh, really?
Huge with the Green Bay Packers. It's huge.
Well,
because they feel like the group, the leadership there, and I'm talking Brian Gutekunst and his group, I'm talking Matt LaFleur, I'm talking Mark Burby. They feel this way, that what they're bringing in, they owe it to the guys they've got here. Now, they've got a good culture. They've got a culture second to none. They've got a good culture. It's their duty to bring in the type of people that fit that culture and will be those types of people. Now, occasionally somebody might have a black mark on their record. They will look into that and look into it big time, because they do not want problems in their locker room. And if you look at it historically, the Green Bay Packers, and especially in recent times, the Green Bay Packers, the wrong side of the fence is a lonely place to be. There's, you know, if you come in here and you're a little guy, you're one of those guys that can go either way, really, just depending on his background, how he grew up, things like that. And he can go either. If he's on the fence, he's going to fall on the right side in Green Bay, because on the wrong side of the fence, there's nobody over there to play with.
Outstanding.
I love it.
Keep it that way.
Love it.
And I'm just telling you, culture is huge. And you go on the lock, there's good guys. They just have flat out the free agents they bring in, good guys. The new guys, Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs. I sat there and watched them interact with the media, you know, and so forth. And sitting there up close and personal, wow. I thought, good guys.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Yesterday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture launched a brand new federal milk order that has nothing to do with price. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Instead, this federal order says that lactating cows must test negative for the bird flu avian influenza before they can be transported. Alan Bierga with the National Milk Producers Federation says he just hopes that this new federal order doesn't disrupt marketing.
Well, I mean, there's stability in the sense that we're reminding people that there should not be a disruption to the milk supply. You know, when you see milk futures moving, it's because of ideas of impact on supply and demand. And what you're seeing probably, most likely, is traders that are going to be betting that this is going to be affecting demand. Our job is to make sure that people stay calm in terms of looking at markets, right? Dairy is a nutritious product. It's a product that people rely upon. They can continue to rely on this nutrition, even as the industry itself has a little bit of disruption in terms of the interstate movement of cattle.
Alan Bierga is the Executive Vice President of Communications and Industry Relations with the National Milk Producers Federation. He says the number one message that consumers need to hear, regardless of this federal order, is that milk and dairy products are safe to enjoy. Markets on the way. Research, promotion, and education. That's where your Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested. Adam Kask is the executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, fresh off a trip to Georgia, learning more about how soybeans are used in firefighting foam.
Yep, that was down in Dalton, Georgia. We saw a demonstration of a new firefighting product, actually a foam made out of soybean meal. And the whole intention is to replace the current firefighting foam on the market right now is made with PFAS chemicals, the forever chemicals that we're hearing so much about. So our parent organization, the United Soybean Board, has been working on this project for at least a couple of years now. So down in Dalton, Georgia, we had the opportunity, along with several other states and a lot of firefighters from some of the different soybean producing states, to go down there and see a test of this product. It actually worked very well.
Adam Kask, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, talking about soy-based firefighting foam. Find more at wisoybean.org. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese stood still at 177. 40-pound block cheese dropped 2 cents to 174, while AA butter gained a quarter of a cent to 296 and three quarters per pound. This morning in Chicago, our May Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 15 cents, 1763. June is down 21 at 1770. Right now, December corn's down a penny at 472. November soybeans down 7.5 at 1167. July new crop wheat up a penny right now at 614 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot of what's happening with the markets. More food news anytime at MidwestFarmReport.com, including our podcast. I'm Pam Yonke.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 56 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 36. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and windy with scattered showers by afternoon, our high 59, with more rain and thunderstorms likely Friday night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Beautify your entertainment space with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Hi, this is Gina Della from Pella. Turn your ordinary space into something extraordinary with brand new Pella Windows. Plus, getting the perfect windows and doors for your home has never been easier. Right now, get 0% interest for up to 36 months or no down payment, no interest, and no payments for up to 18 months if you book before April 30th. Take ownership of your living space and make it a place worth living with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
All
All right, don't forget, we got our quick poll going on this morning. Men, have you purchased lingerie for women? And you can also, ladies, you can actually get in on that poll too. Download the Civic Media app and choose your station, WGBW or WISS, and we'll take those polls throughout the morning. Also, before we go any further, I want to say that later on after 8:30 this morning, your chance to win Brewers tickets for Sunday's game.
Right.
And another fine for John Mino.
No!
Yes. Thank you.
Not me!
Okay, yep.
Well, you wanted to do 5 and 5?
No.
It was...
No, was it me? I was here.
You mean because we couldn't...
We're getting texts in. Rock needed an hour. I think you all should be fined $10 for cutting off the Rock. Another text said it was fun watching Mino squirm trying to cut him off.
Yep.
Love you, John.
Yep. So, John, you let him go over and you pay the
$10. Why didn't you jump in?
I was going like this
to you. Were not.
Like, I was like, Johnny, wrap it up.
I didn't see you flailing your arms.
No,
like
thank you, Todd.
You guys
and today is the reason about the... We're not... Skanky guys, but
right.
Today
I would tell Chad that.
National Lingerie Day.
We're not creepy
and
guys.
That's why we're having that poll.
Yeah.
We've got Chad Cornett here from Cantilever Studio. And you know you're living my dream, right?
Hey, I'm living a lot of people's dreams.
You're living my dream. You design fantastic structures and houses and different things.
Design, build.
Design, and you create. You are living my dream, my friend.
That's cool.
How did you get into this?
I just grew up with a DIY family and got into building and ended up in Milwaukee at an architecture school and found my passion there. Yeah, it was really...
That's so awesome.
That's pretty awesome. So you were into this when you were a little kid.
Yeah, we built a number of places as I grew up and learned how to do just about everything.
But you've taken to a new level, haven't you? Talk a little bit about, did you get some big award or honor or something published on a design that you've created?
Actually, my smallest home up that I built at Frank Lloyd Wright School of Architecture... was 360 square feet.
Oh my gosh.
And it's been in the Guggenheim Museum and it's in a hardcover book. And
you created it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. So people, it's interesting because your niche would be smaller homes.
It would, yeah.
And that's getting so popular now.
Right. Because I think there's people who are minimalist, you know, like I have my own one of those, my daughter, and it's like, wow, I wouldn't live like that. But I think that's great. It's just simple and they got the money to do more. They just choose not to. You know what I mean? And a smaller quality, but that's the key. It's not like a smaller, it's not like a trailer. I mean, it is a smaller, really quality house.
Right. I mean, you can spend $1,000 a square foot on 300 square feet and it'll be a really nice home.
What are some of the challenges of building small versus building large?
You know, the details are the most important thing. You can't just brush over any space. Every detail's got to be thought out. Multiple functions for one piece of built-in structure is really a good goal.
Every square foot has to be used, right?
Yeah, up, down, not just the floor.
I would think some people might think a smaller house is less expensive, but that's...
Yeah, you know, the smaller you go, it does start to decrease the amount you're going to spend unless you increase the quality. But then once you get beyond a certain point, it really, you still have the same functions and... bringing the same crews to build it. So it there's a diminishing, you know, value to building house
models. So the people that know about you and your tremendous reputation, everything like that, if they come to you, they're not looking for a cookie cutter, 1600 square foot, yada, yada. Yeah. They really want some zing, don't they?
Yeah, and you kind of have to find me. You know, if you are looking for that person that's putting some design out there that isn't doing the standard houses.
Yeah.
You'll find me. You know, those people are looking for somebody different.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not that different, but it's just enough to make it.
So do you design something and then market it, or you sit down with the potential client and then you design? Or what's the process?
You need to have a piece of property. Number one, you have to design a building for property. The nuances of where the sun is, the views, the privacy, the vegetation, all that is really comes into play with every building.
I told this story to our realtors, Ben Melker, that yesterday when I was selling my house in Ledgeview, and these people want to put in a full price offer cash. It's like, phenomenal. They said, but we got to be there at sunup. It's like, what? To see where the sun was hitting?
Yeah.
And then they didn't buy the house. It wasn't hitting. The sun wasn't right. So some people really do put a lot of stock into that, don't they?
It's really important. I mean, who wants the sun blasting in your living room when you're trying to, you know, watch TV, for instance?
But even like at Two Rivers, Jim's hometown, I remember I asked somebody one time, I said, this is so weird. these people have these houses on the water, but their patios are in the, like the backyard.
Yeah.
And they said, well, because the wind, you can't use the patio because the wind coming off the water. So, I mean, there are different quirks, aren't there?
It's very true. You know, lakefront, Lake Winnebago, get 120 mile an hour winds, and you need to design for that. That's really important. You know, and when I say small home, you know, tiny homes are something different. They're sort of classified as 480 square feet and smaller. You know, that's really tiny for a climate like this that you're stuck in that place in the winter.
Right. Good point.
You know, it's a really outdoor living situation. Now, a cabin.
Yeah.
I totally think those are the way to get into a cabin because they're so expensive to get now.
Oh, it's crazy. Well, even building's crazy, though, isn't it?
I mean,
I know you guys know the number one thing that you guys hate the most is when somebody says how much per square foot because that's so arbitrary with whatever. Yeah. But just in general purposes, when I was talking to a builder a few years ago, about 3 years, right before COVID, about possibly building, and it was 150 a square foot, and now I think he's 300 to 350 a square foot. Is that right?
Yeah, I think you're probably going to start at 300 a square foot minimum for a tiny home.
Right.
Because that dollar per square foot is going to be higher. And, you know, like the shipping containers, they're so popular. Everybody loves them. You have to think they're 8 feet wide.
Right.
You know, and if you don't combine them together, and they're not easy to build. So if you're not going to keep the shipping container and you have to build it all out, you're building your house, you get rid of the shipping container and you're saving money, basically.
That's very, very popular, though, container parks.
Yeah.
They're
legitimate in certain...
Okay, but not here, or what do you...
No, they are, but they're sort of a niche market. You know, you have to think you're building a house inside this place. It's waterproof shell. That's the best part about it. You can cut into it, and it's got some structure. You don't have to add structure. So, I mean, those benefits are good if you use them, but as soon as you cover everything up and put siding and roofing around it, and new windows, and you're cutting through these heavy steel walls, that's a lot of labor.
I'll bet.
And trying to tie into that, all of these things take more time.
So have you had anybody that has, like, a cottage, and they just raise it, and then they say, look, build me something really, really quality on this? Because you said site control is absolutely number one, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've done a number, and I will go to a project, and if it's salvageable, I will work with it. Okay. You know, hands down, you'll save money. If you can gut it to the studs, rebuild it from the ground up, other than the structure, you're going to save money. If it's not worth saving, raise it up, build in the same footprint.
Sounds like Frog Station.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to have to do there. Right? what are some of your quirks? What are some of the things? Because I would think a builder, they've got their own personal type, favorite types of things that they try to pass on to people that might not have thought of those things. What are some of yours? I mean, if you're a Frank Lloyd Wright student, you're imaginative.
Yeah, no, I definitely think out of the box, and that's why this is for me. But, you know, I love corner windows because they eliminate the box. And when you stand in a large corner window, you feel like you're outside and you're inside.
Wow.
That's the key to expanding small spaces, sharing it with the outside, with windows and small details. How doors come together and space flows through the interior really can help expand your sense of space.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. But Frank Lloyd Wright, though, he wasn't really known for windows.
He was known for the corner window. He was known for cantilevers. So that
name of your company. Explain the cantilever.
Yeah, it's an efficient use of structure. So say a beam goes over two posts. Well, the beam can cantilever out another 10 feet unsupported. And when you do that, it just always creates very interesting things.
Isn't there one Frank Lloyd Wright house that's like over a river or over a creek that goes right through the house, basically?
Falling Water is maybe the most popular home.
Big fan of Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah, it's really cool. He built right over the river and, you know, you're standing over the waterfall.
That's incredible.
It is incredible.
And
it's a small home.
It's
like 1,500 square feet.
Oh, you're kidding. I've only seen pictures of it. I've never actually been to it.
It looks ginormous because there's a lot of outdoor space built into it. And that's what Frank likes to do is expand the interior space to the outside with patios and raised. He would always bring up his prairie homes on a plinth. So you'd step up 3 feet to get into the home, but now you're above the prairie and your view is exponentially better.
That's my favorite design is prairie style houses.
Yeah.
It's my favorite design.
Where do we see those? What's that place called down in Wisconsin? Where
Spring Green. It's called Taliesin.
Yeah. Okay, yes. And that's that. If people are interested in that design, that's right.
Yeah, that's his prairie style. And in Arizona, he's got another home where he lives summers, and it's called Taliesin West.
Okay.
And a totally different architecture for the desert, which both are phenomenal.
So who's buying your... Who's contracting with you? Is it these millennials? Is it people that, like, I've lived in a big house my whole life, I want to downsize? Or who comes to you?
Those two people, really. The younger gen, I'm getting them all, but mostly a little bit younger and retired people.
Oh.
You know, a lot of people looking at retirement, empty nesters, are downsizing their house. So, you know, to me, a 1,400 square foot home is a small home compared to normally what's getting built. So, you know, they're kind of all over the board. You know, I've got people from 80, 90 years old.
That are still building?
Yeah, putting on
an...
Well, they want to stay in their home. We put them in a wheelchair-accessible addition. Yeah.
Right. We're with Chad Cornett from Cantilever Studios. He's an award-winning designer, kind of a niche designer, I would think. Would you say that, Chad?
Yeah, it's sort of
if
a niche,
if you're looking for
a
cutty, like I said, cutty, don't go somebody else. But but how did you... You know, okay, let me tell you one of my dreams. Okay. Yeah. Is to refurbish silos, old silo. Wouldn't that be cool?
I had a request for one of those.
Did you
to
really
turn into an Airbnb in town?
Yes.
Here.
Yeah. And they must have heard me talking about
see
that.
See how smart this guy is? Award-winning niche. What'd you do with that request?
Well,
why do you have to go there?
That one hasn't seen any daylight yet.
Okay.
But you know, some of these dreams are. Pipe dreams.
Wow. Pipe dreams. Thy name is Mino.
No. It can be done. It's about budget. And does it make sense for what you want to put in there?
Yeah. That's anything can be done.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when it comes to you guys. I don't know if it's the most practical, but he's very creative. And I think that he just needs to get somebody on the other side that's a little bit more practical, but that could work.
But you won't be a partner with me in anything.
So often I have to, you know, mediate between the husband and the wife.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Nobody ever wants the same thing.
This is like, and somebody texted me this yesterday, it's like listening to an old married couple.
That's why they're successful.
Right. Well, we've been together. Yes.
Chad Cornett, Cantilever Studios, based out of Suamico, right?
Yes.
Is there, I got a feeling you'd be the least trendy designer in America. Am I right about that?
I want to look at every project like a new project.
Yeah.
So bring some ideas that I have, but feed off of the client's ambitions and just bring the two together, and it always seems to work out.
Are you a one-man band?
I am.
You seem to have that confidence.
Yeah.
Good word.
Yeah.
I do have a lot of confidence, I guess, because I feel like I can build anything.
Right.
You know, number one, and you know, I hire great people. I've got some great builders. So when I do
Can I just say, I'm available to help labor.
Yeah.
I just want you to know.
Yes. Labor's sought after.
I'm
so
here.
I will come to you.
I'm here.
To find labor.
Call me.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, sweet. Well, I'll test you out at my own house.
Thank you. You know, another thing, though, too, we're talking about that, about different designs. And we're both in real estate for a while. And it's funny how something that could be so cool for a few years, when you go to show another house, people are like, oh,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, 90s.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. With the popcorn ceilings and the whole thing. But I think it's cool that you could sit with somebody and design something that literally is just theirs.
Right.
It's unique that you will use. Cause there's a lot of designers. They pretty much have a formula in their mind. And, you know, and you will be so original with them. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And I don't want to be, I mean, we are in Green Bay, Wisconsin, so you can't redesign the box too far. You have to utilize how people can like to build up here. Yeah.
All right. We got to send our quick break. We want to talk more about this, Chad. Chad Cornett, Cantilever Studios, amazing home designer. Back right after this.
Rolling down high.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turn 26. Now, that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on Thursday morning with Chad Cornett, Cantilever Studios. Like I said, a man who is living my dreams by designing really unique places. I think this is cool, and you're all hands-on with this. But, like, Jim asked you the question, and so I'm surprised because I thought you would, like, scoff at him. But you asked him about the barrel houses.
Well, your niche is really high-quality custom homes. Smaller, but, and I don't know if it was a fad. It was down in Tennessee, right? And they these homes that look like barrels.
Sure.
And I just think that was it looked like it was cool space. I had never been in one. What do you think of that? And is that something that you would look at?
I would love to. I look at anything, and especially if it's out of the box, I'm interested.
That's awesome.
You know, circular space, the only big challenge is it's a lot of volume for the amount of space that you can use.
Yeah.
You know, because you put a floor in there, you just ate up a whole bunch. You lost a bunch of space. So that's the only downfall you might see. But, you know, utilizing that lost space is also something that we're going to consider.
You know what's cool, though, too? Right. You and I both watch the same things as far as these guys building stuff out in the wilds, basically. Yeah. I love those shows.
Off-grid.
But, yes, absolutely, which is my dream. But I think it's cool that people are really incorporating natural resources in their home. Like, in those shows you and I watch, these people build their stoves and ovens out of field stone and out of whatever. That's a cool thing these days, isn't it?
It is, and it's honestly what drew me to my master's degree at the Frank Lloyd Wright School.
Okay.
Because he was inspired by the site and the nature, and, you know, part of our school was going to the site, finding a piece of foliage and doing an artistic geometric pattern on it. They called it nature pattern. So being inspired by the site in a number of ways.
See, I think that's cool.
Using materials from the site. Mine the stone. Use the sand for the cement.
Exactly. I love
that. Trees for the wood.
Yes. Yeah.
So when you got a smaller home, quality home, is it still the most expensive room, bathroom, and the kitchen?
It is. Because you have cabinetry mainly, that's just a higher quality finish. And that's why they cost more. You know, glass is another expensive product, but in a small home, it's like one of the best spent features.
Okay, so if you have older people, they're not looking at the resale as much.
Right.
But if you have a young couple, like Jim always says, the millennial types or whatever, is there a certain thing they're looking at for when they do sell it, it's still going to be really cool or maybe even get cooler as the years goes? What are some of those types of features?
You know, mainly when people younger want to go smaller, there's going to be a vision toward resale. But I would say let's design that building to be larger to accommodate more people. So we design up front future additions that they might want, that extra bedroom. You know, I've had a lot of clients move in and they're so excited they have a baby. Not too many
down the road.
Too many days forward. So, you know, that all of a sudden puts a cramp on, you know,
right. How
much space you have when you have three people living in a two-bedroom or one-bedroom.
Yeah.
So given the design of the homes, and it's unique. Yep. I mean, it's custom. It's unique. It's their design. Do you get into the landscaping part of it, or you farm that out?
Yeah. You know, I don't really call out plants, but I do hardscape. So I will definitely account for all the patios, decks, paths through the site. You know, connections. Yeah.
You know, one of the things, that's too, awesome. with designing like that,
Do you ever find that you put something down on paper and it's like, well, this is almost like what I'd build if it was for me? Like where your own personal taste sometimes flow in?
Every project is that way.
Okay.
I would live at every single one of them. Okay, I have to love it too.
Yeah. That's so cool. What was the Frank Lloyd Wright School like?
It was hands-on. And I got to work with real architects while going to school and getting a master's. So that was why I went. I got out of my undergrad from Milwaukee, and that was great. It taught me to design in a big way from being a builder. And then I wasn't getting the real life, like, put these buildings together with drawings, which Taliesin gave me. So that's why I chose that.
Wow. So as Johnny said, I teach kids. Kids, whatever, kids, 20 that are interested in this. Something about you, you didn't waver a lot from what you wanted to do. It's like there's a lot of kids, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. I want to be a doctor. I want to do this. But
it's true.
From the time you were 7 years old, you're living your dream. I mean,
I did not expect to be doing what I'm doing. I mean, I was a builder framing, you know, spec homes through high school and college, and I just didn't really find a passion for it because you're just nailing together two by fours and headers and, you know, not really seeing the whole process. But it gave me the foundation of how structure stands up, and I learned way more than I thought. And then when I said I learned how to design, it just like blew up in my head, and I love
awesome.
And that design, was that high school that you took some courses? Where were you at?
I didn't take a course until college.
Really? Oh, in architecture?
In architecture. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh. I mean, I even got out of art class in seventh grade and never went back until college. So that is my downfall, right? And most architecture students are artists and art history, and they can draw like crazy. Yeah. I came in there, I couldn't draft. I couldn't draw anything.
Wow.
So that was all my college learning to where I'm at now.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
And then UWM.
Yeah. UWM and then the Frank Lloyd Wright School.
Right. That's cool. I mean, you got to give talks to kids. I mean, you are living your dream.
I'm loving what I'm doing. I cannot
complain. Do you
have a
website where people can look at some of your designs?
You know, I'm mainly found on Houzz.com. H-U-Z-Z.
Okay.
H-O-U-Z-Z.
Okay.
That's the way you spell Houzz.
Yeah.
Houzz.com.
Yeah, and you'd be amazed. That's cool. If you're going to build anything, you want to find that website because you'll have connections to everything you're looking for.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Chad Kurnett, Candlelever Studios. Like I said, man, I admire people like you that can take their vision, their dreams, put it on paper, and then build it. I think that's magical.
Man, I'm happy for you.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
So good to have you. And don't give up on the dream of Frog Station being a partner.
Oh, hey, I want to help out.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
I sense this guy's probably.
What about for our thing? You've been to the UP, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Jim and I, we got a dream there.
We're going to have you in on that.
All right.
We're going to go after those wealthier people that want to get off the grid. Yeah. It's going to be you're not going to park your car there. You're going to park your car somewhere else. We've got golf carts. And we're going to have a garden, and we're going to have wine and weed. And it's just going to be an off-the-grid place.
Wow.
The former mayor always talks about weed.
I apologize, Chad. I apologize.
Chad, will that work or what?
That works for me.
This guy knows what he's doing.
Chad Kurnett, Candlelever Studios. You got to check out his work, folks. It's truly amazing. Thank you so much for being here, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
We got to set a quick break. Back after this.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot and Brewers tickets. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.